All right. The next presentation, as you can see, is called WordPress 101, and it's John Overall. I've known John for what, about 3 years now. He's Akhonsu, so A-H-K-O-N-S-U.
In the lower right corner.
There you go.
Lower left corner, my other right.
He knows a lot about WordPress, but not a lot about erections. he's got the podcast called WordPress Plugins from A to Z, and he's going to talk to you today about, for those of you who want to get started with WordPress and have no idea where to start, he is going to get you not just started, but in a position where you could like probably just during the lunch break sign up and get going. So, John Overall, everybody.
Thank you, Mike. Appreciate that. Everyone hear me okay?
Yeah.
Excellent. Okay, so like Mike said, I'm doing a presentation here on WordPress 101. It's a basic intro presentation to show you some of the back end of WordPress, what you can do with it, and where it can go. And just a little bit more about me. As I said, my name's John Overall. I have been working online since the early 90s. And since 99, I've had my own web design hosting business. And about 3.5 years ago, I discovered WordPress and dived right into it. So now I'm one of the ones mixing the Kool-Aid and doling it out. Try to convert more people over from those other CMS systems out there. So what we're going to do here is show you a little bit about it. Now, everything I discuss here, just so I'm clear, applies only to WordPress.org. It does not apply to WordPress.com. You cannot use anything I discuss on WordPress.com, which is the free hosted service. Everything I discuss has to be on your own self-hosted blog. One of the things, like Mike said in his presentation, is it's important to control your own data. I've been a proponent of controlling your own data since way back. Because if you don't control your data, you never know what's going to happen to it. You can wake up one morning, find your website's gone, and if you don't have a backup of it, it's gone forever. Not uncommon, it happens. Now, I'll be covering many things here pretty quickly, so there won't be complete detail of it. So if you want more detail, feel free to contact me after. I'll be happy to answer the questions. Now, contrary to what they say, WordPress does have what's known as the famous 5-minute install, but that only goes so far as installing WordPress itself. Now, real briefly, we'll show you what can you do with WordPress. WordPress is unlimited in its features, pretty much. You can use it as an online magazine. You can use it to promote your cooking show online. Not only your cooking show, but you can put your recipes up there with it. You can use it as a full-blown e-commerce system to sell not only digital products like this site does, but you can also use it to sell actual products online. Use it for small businesses, promoting your local small business, connecting with your community in and around. If you're a photographer, it creates fantastic photography websites for displaying your portfolio photography out there. You can use it as a web directory. Create nothing but a web directory with it. You can use it as a paid listing directory to list up services. And again, as an online magazine. So as you can see, WordPress has just about any use you want. There can be limitations to it, and a lot of people don't fully realize those. But in my experience so far, I have yet to run into a complete limitation of WordPress. So, to continue on with it, once you've installed WordPress, I'm not going to show you how to install WordPress. That's usually pretty easy. Most hosting providers now give you what's known as a one-click install through their back end. You click a button, you come back 5 minutes later, and WordPress is installed and ready to go. And this is what it gives you. This is where you start with a WordPress install. Now, something I should have mentioned at this point here, I may not get questions that have time at the end for questions, so if you do have a question, throw your hand up. I'll happily take it while I'm talking. It makes it a little easier. That way we get the question while it's in your mind.
Can you just a very, very basic question, because I'm really new to all of these even terminology and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
When you even say install, can you run this on your during your website, or do you have to have an external host?
Running it on your own home computer is very difficult unless you download a specialized package for it, because WordPress requires PHP, MySQL, and a few other parameters that most hosting providers just provide in the background that most users never see or know about. Hosting, cheap. You can get hosting for as little as $2 a month for a decent hosting company. That will allow you to get a starter WordPress site. If your WordPress site starts to get more than 100 visitors a day, you have to move up to a better hosting provider or a better hosting package, because WordPress can become intensive at the higher levels of visitation to the website.
So how do you then control that? Like, this is where I'm confused about the control. Like, if that goes down, how do you still have your...
You would make a backup copy of your site. Is what you do. You always keep a backup. There are plugins for it, and I'll be explaining what the difference in plugins and everything else are. Oh, shoot, they got me out of the site again.
This is WordPress install.
What's that?
The WordPress install. I haven't installed anything, but I know that with a lot of blogs, there's a comment, and it's WordPress. And you go to write something, and it says, name your blog before you can even make a sign in the comment.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what the place that you're mentioning to install?
No, that would be something to... Installing WordPress is something that I can't go into because there's so many different ways to do it on so many different hosts. It does require sometimes more than 5 minutes, but they do have their...
You go to WordPress.org.
No, WordPress.org is where you download the WordPress software, if you need it, is what you do. So once you've got it up and running, you're in the back end. Yes?
Sorry, I just wanted to comment that I arrived here at 4:09. I downloaded WordPress onto my iPad, and I posted 3 postings. And yes. It's the first time I've ever used it.
Yeah, it doesn't take long. It doesn't take long to get it up and running. It's very simple to do. That's one of the beauties about it. So in the back end, what we're going to do is cover some of the areas. And let's pop that to here. Getting into WordPress, fairly easy from your front end. You just click, log into it. Into the back end, just briefly run over some of the areas of the menus. The menus have changed a bit since WordPress 3.3. So some of these screenshots are WordPress 3.2, actually. But just to cover over some of the main areas of the site, it covers all of your controls, entries, quick data in your dashboard, tell you what's happening with WordPress. All your tools for managing WordPress are down the left-hand column there. All your information goes into the back end here. And now we'll just walk through actually changing up WordPress itself. And this is one of the areas that a lot of people overlook when they first install their WordPress. They forget to go through their general settings. And that's what I'm going to be base covering here is the general settings area. Because although they're not 100% needed, they do add to the website itself. The first thing you'll do with it is you'll go to your general settings and you'll fix your title tag and your byline for it. Your title tag and byline are very important because they're tagged to almost every page of your site, and they enhance or dehance your SEO on it. So what you would do is go in and change your title. And then change your tagline to whatever your site's going to be. I hate this computer. Every time I go to hit the shift key, I hit the cap lock. So this is my sandbox website. It's where I do all my practice stuff. This is where I throw thousands of plugins at it at a time and try to bring them down. So you change that. One thing that a lot of people sometimes will try to play with is you'll see the spot that says WordPress URL. The WordPress URL there, the address and the site address, you should never change unless you know exactly why you're doing it. If you do change those, you can find yourself locked out of your website and unable to get back into it unless you know how to get into the database and fix it. So do not change those. Below that is an email address for the master administrator of the website. What this is for is whoever you assign the master administrator will get all the warnings, all the information, everything that is addressed to the master administrator for the website. Usually yourself, but if you're on a site with multiple people, you want to make sure the right person gets the info. Below that is where you can turn your website into a multi-user website, where you can allow people to subscribe to your website. What this is needed for is if you're going to run an e-commerce store or something of that nature where you need to collect information from people, you need to allow them to subscribe to your website to do that. Now, when you do that, you can give them a user level at that time. Not really recommended to let them have the administrator one. You'd usually give them the lowest one, which it automatically defaults to, which is subscriber. And then you have varying levels from contributor to editor. So you can assign different people tasks on your website to do stuff and leave the administrator one, who's the only person who can go in and add plugins, change, and do everything that we're doing right now. Yes?
So what is the subscriber then?
Subscriber? Somebody, I'm going to go buy a pair of shoes from a website, and I sign on the website, I have to fill in my info, I become a subscriber, is what it is.
So they get access to certain...
They get access to the base of everything, is what they do, and their own personal account. They get their own account on the site.
But not adding content.
Not adding content.
If you're not selling, then you don't really need to open registration. People can still comment on your blogs without...
They can always comment without registration unless you set it up to where they have to register the comment. It's usually not recommended if you're going to allow comments. Don't force them to register. Don't even force them to use ReCAPTCHA if you don't have to. Below that is the time zone.
How do they register? I have a WordPress site that somebody built for me that I really don't understand.
How they would register?
I have a bunch of people on there as subscribers, but I don't know what to do with them or where they came from.
Then it's turned on for registration, and how they would register is there might be a page, or they might have accidentally stumbled across.
Like, there was a login page, but I think that's for people to pay.
They might have stumbled across this page here, if I get it loaded, this page here, where, okay, I've got it turned off. There's a link.
Okay.
A link appears on the bottom that says register here, okay. If it's turned on for registration.
So they just made up a name and a password?
Yeah, they just make up a name. WordPress actually issues the password for them. And they just go from there.
Is there some way that I can send an email to all those people at once?
No.
Or do I just
you'd have to add a plug-in to it, and then you can. You add a plug-in to it, and then you'd be able to do that. Now, below that is the time zone. The time zone is often overlooked and left at UTC, which, of course, is Greenwich Mean Time. It's good to have your time zone set to your time zone so that people know where your site is and where it's located. And you also know how update your material is, and you don't have to do the math between your time zone and Greenwich Mean Time. And setting it to our time zone, simple. Just hit the V and you got Vancouver, the closest city to us. Below that is a couple of personal preferences, date formats, and date and time formats, and start of the week. Depends on what day of the week you'd like your week to start on. Simple enough changes, but overlooked ones. The next one down is the writing. What these ones are for is how you're going to appear, how your site's going to appear when you're in the text editor area of WordPress, entering your content. What they've got here is the post box size. They finally defaulted it to a large window. It used to be defaulted to 10 instead of 20, so now it's wide enough to actually write in. If you've got a very large screen on your computer, you can set it to more lines, so you have a wider window to write in. Default post category, this will change as you start to create categories for your website. Default post format, WordPress, like Tumblr, offers multiple format types for your website. And now you can choose whatever that default type is going to be on your site. and your category for links. The other thing you've got here is it offers up the ability to use the tool called Press This. This is a tool you can download to your local computer to create the content on your local computer offline and then load up to your WordPress site later. I've heard both good and bad on this tool, and I've never actually tried it myself. Underneath that is an area called Post Via Email. Sometimes it works very well if you take the time to make sure it configures. One of the biggest problems is WordPress will take the email, you mail it, and it'll create a post, and the layout will just be completely horrid. So you've got to be careful using something like that. Next one down, though, this one's kind of important. The remote publishing tools. There's publishing tools for your iPad, your iPhone, your smartphone, your Android, all the tablet. To use those tools, though, you have to enable these two protocols. If you don't enable those protocols, you will not be able to connect to your website and publish to it via your tablets, unless you go through the browser to do it. Underneath that is the update services, the ping services. Ping servers are a bunch of servers out there on the web that take notifications that says this website has new content, and then it notifies other folks about it. It's got both good and bad uses to it. The problem with ping services is there's a list of hundreds of them, and that list is constantly changing as new ping servers come online and other ones go offline. There's actually a wonderful plugin to manage this that monitors ping servers and changes them out as is needed. This next one down is reading. What this is for when people visit your site, what they're going to see and how they're going to see it, how many they're going to see. With a standard WordPress theme, you have a choice to either have the front page appear with all your posts running down consecutively, one after another, and continue scrolling until it gets to the list. And you can have that number, any number you want, it defaults to 10. Or you can set a static page for your front page and have that like a landing page and then create another page for your posts to show up on. The most number of posts that I tend to put on a site, I change it from 10 down to 5, simply to eliminate scrolling hell. I really despise scrolling hell on websites.
On the static page, do you have a recommendation there? I mean, does it change the response on the site? Does it speed that up by doing that?
The static page has uses, like say you want people to arrive on your about page or a sales page or some other information. I don't tend to use very many standard themes for WordPress anymore. I tend to use more themes like this one here, which this is the front page, and it's not exactly a static page. It's full of widgeted areas to bring in content from all over the site, is what it does. And this is what I find to be the best way for a front page. I used to use the static page for, I can't even remember what I used it for. About's the best thing I could describe, describing the company or a specific sales purpose, and then try to flip them over to the content. The other one down here is your syndication fees. Everyone know what RSS is, or anyone here use RSS? Yeah? Okay, RSS, real simple syndication, anything but simple. It's a great idea of getting your content from the web. You'll find lots of visitors to your site will not visit your site, but will have your site delivered to them via their Gmail or their email or their RSS feeder, whatever they use for it. The RSS syndication one here determines how many articles are going to be displayed in the RSS feed. And an RSS feed is simply, looks like this. And what it does is it lists off my articles down the line through it. 10 articles is perfect, but what you don't want to do.
Sorry, is it only your content that can come up in the RSS feed on your blog, or can you have other content
only your content through your RSS feed. You can pull other people's content from their RSS feed, put it on your blog, and then feed it out your RSS feed. But there's a lot of complex ways to do it. And one of the things you don't want to do is give them in the syndication feed is you don't want to give them the entire article to read. The whole idea of anything is to drive people to your website. So you change this setting here from full text to summary. And what that'll do is it'll drop it down to the first paragraph or so of the article and then leave a continue reading link. So the idea is when you're creating your content, make sure your most important or most compelling stuff is in the first paragraph so they click it and end up on your website to read the rest of it.
John?
Yes?
Can I just also add a competing view to that, that I also am, I really push for people to put full text on if what they're delivering is content. If really you want people to read what you do, and it's not as important that they necessarily have to be on the site. Because I just, I guess because I'm partly old school, and yeah. I was often in a feed reader, you're often not online.
Yeah.
Nowadays,
might have been like that, but personally, I need to have traffic to my website because the articles I write are not just to provide information, it's to bring them in so hopefully I can turn them into clients.
Right.
In reality, there's a point of why I create my material. You know, it's not completely selfless, as much as I do, that is free. The next thing down here is your encoding settings. You probably don't want to change these unless you're working with specific languages. You can change the standard encoding for any type of character encoding on the web if you want to have your character show in Chinese or Russian or whatever. But the UTF-8 is standard English. The next one down here is your discussion settings. Your discussion settings, this is how it determines what's going to be fed for the comments, how people are going to see the comment block at the bottom, and what they can do for it. One of the things you can do is, it has a lot of default settings that are all perfectly set fine, but I'll briefly cover a couple of them. Attempt to notify any blogs linked to the article. So when you create an article and you have links, first thing your site does, it pings all the websites that you've linked in the article to say, hey, I've linked to you, come visit me. Really actually kind of a great thing to do, especially if you're pinging to some of the bigger boys.
John, are these the defaults?
These are the default settings, checked off. The ones that need to be checked and added to it is, there's a couple of them here. One of them that may or may not be checked is the automatically closed comments. This is useful if you have time-sensitive content on your site and you want to shut down the discussion after a period of time. What it'll do is it'll automatically shut down the discussion. No further comments will be allowed after a certain number of days. So it can be very useful in that aspect.
Could you touch on what the notify any blogs linked to from the article does? Is it an email or is it?
No, it's a ping service. It's an under web ping service. Your website just automatically pings them and they get a notification. I don't have my dashboard up. In my dashboard, I get a notification of how many people have linked to my articles on my site, which is kind of nice. It's kind of cool to say, oh, wow, 10 people have linked to me today.
So is it only other WordPress sites that are going to get that notice?
It depends. I don't know how the other ones work and handle pings.
Okay.
So they might handle pings in the same way. So the one above it, this is the one that was asked earlier, is making people register before they can comment. Again, this may be necessary if you run a membership website and you only want members to comment. But if you want general comments from people, you have to make it as easy as possible to do. The easier it is, the more comments you will get. If you run a website that gets lots of comments, you can then break your comments into pages, 50 or less or more. And this can be very nice if, for instance, you have an article that generates a couple hundred comments to eliminate scrolling hell on your website. You can break those comments up into pages. The website automatically emails you whenever anyone posts a comment. If you get lots of comments, you want to go turn this off, because otherwise your email box will be flooded. It also emails you when a comment is held for moderation. Holding a comment for moderation is done the next level down, where you can check the box that says an administrator must always approve the comment. A nice way to go if you're first beginning your website to sort of control it. After a while, you don't want to do that. But you can also have the box checked that if a comment author that you've previously approved comes back and comments again, they don't have to be reapproved again. This is usually okay, because if you've approved them once, chances are they're not a spammer. The comment moderation queue, though, this holds a comment automatically if someone puts more than two links in the comment. I changed that from two to one, because if anyone puts more than one link in their comment, to me they're spamming my comments, because they shouldn't need to put more than one link in there unless they're trying to make a point, and then I'll read the comment and determine it. The other thing you can do is you can create a blacklist of words used in comments that will automatically force the comment to moderation. That way, if you want to eliminate cursing, swearing, or anything else like that on your website. At the bottom here is avatars. Everyone know what a gravatar is?
No.
Okay, gravatar is a global avatar. It's an avatar that follows you around the web. No matter where you sign in, wherever anyone uses the Gravatar system, your image will always appear next to your comments. It's a great way to brand yourself if you make comments on lots of other websites. You change the setting here from Mystery Man to Gravatar, and you can also decide a setting of rating of what that avatar will be. This helps keep your avatars that show up on your website family and work safe. No, Gravatar is a separate system unto itself. Although Gravatar is owned by Automattic, the company that create WordPress. And what a Gravatar looks like. Let's see my. You go to gravatar.com and sign up for it, and what you do is you literally assign your email address to a gravatar. Oh, my gravatar is not showing. What it does for logins is in the bottom login area, it'll put a gravatar. Oh, there's a gravatar right here. Right here where I've got a commenter, there's a gravatar of one of my most recent commenters to my site. His photo shows up every time he comments. So that's what happens. You get to know some of your commenters for your site.
Would you use a photo or a logo?
I actually use both. I have my logo overlaid my photo on my photo. So I'm not showing. I must have it turned off on my site right now. The next block down here, settings. Yes.
Will you be getting to setting screencasts?
Setting
search engine optimization and setting screencasts choices. See a lot of pages might come up P equals 125 and talk about.
Yeah, we're gonna set the permalink setting here just about in the next one.
Thank you.
Can I interrupt for 2 minutes?
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry to interrupt. I'll probably do this a couple times today, just so we can share announcements like about the after party and stuff, which I don't know yet. We know a little bit, but not all of it. So a couple of people have asked about water fountains and vending machines, and there are some, and they're up on the second floor, so feel free to make your way up there. Some people have asked about hanging up their coats and stuff. I think people have figured out now that because it's a public building, we're asking people to take their belongings with them. And three sponsors that I absolutely missed that I regret very much. Brave New Code, which is a developer of WordPress plugins, has sponsored us. and they're they actually, I use one of their plugins all the time on most of my websites. IdeaWave Conference, which if you haven't been to the IdeaWave Conference in Victoria, you absolutely should go to this conference. It's a fantastic event. And then onedaywebsite.ca, which is a web development company here in Victoria. Thank you very much. Have a great rest of the session.
Lunch?
Yeah. Oh, lunch is at noon out in the lobby.
Okay, the next item down here is media. You probably don't change these settings unless you have a specific purpose to alter your thumbnails on your site. But this is where you can change the default picture sizes that are used in your posts and pages on your website. Next one down is privacy. What this one's for is when you're developing your website, you want to stop the search engines from indexing your website. And the reason you want to do that is you often have sample content, the demo content. You don't want that indexed in the search engines while you're developing. So what you can do is you can click a box that says, ask the search engines not to index this website. A useful feature during development. Now, the one you asked about was permalink settings. This is the pretty permalink settings that you saw. Sort of like when Mike entered his URL there to his presentation, and the ending URL was his name. The default setting for WordPress, and like this one here, this is my most recent podcast that's gone up. It's got the title of my podcast at the end of my URL. So it ends up with a lot of keywords into your URL, which is actually a very nice setting. But the default setting for WordPress is the setting for where your page shows up, your URL name, question mark, equals a number. And that number is nothing more than the entry code in the database corresponding to that post. It means absolutely nothing to humans. It means absolutely nothing to search engines. Only means something to your current install of WordPress. So what you need to do... WordPress used to have to do it manually, but the best way to do it in WordPress is something called postname. With the advent of 3.3, they've added a new checkbox here for postname. This is literally the best way to change your permalink settings for WordPress. This one step alone dramatically improves the SEO of your website. Underneath that is optional category base, something you only use in advanced SEO.
Is the post name also
for
the same thing as pages?
Yep, post name, when it talks about post, it means pages and posts.
Something I noticed about post name, I think the default in the setup is like the first thing, like you said.
Yeah, it's still
so
first
thing. I switched mine to the post name, and I type stuff too fast, so I make typos all the time, and I've noticed if you make a typo when you the page name will then contain the typo. If you correct it, it doesn't update the.
There's a way to fix that though.
Oh yeah.
So when you're in your post, there's a box underneath your post where you can fix and correct that issue. Okay, so briefly, those are your base settings. Now, briefly, I'm going to cover over a little bit about widgets and a little bit about plugins. Let me find my specific notes on this.
I noticed. I just ask a quick question. With the permalink settings, would this apply to static pages as well?
It applies to every page on your site. Okay. Permalinks takes care of every piece of content you create for your website, including custom post types.
If you make this change in a currently existing site, will it apply retroactively?
Yeah, it applies to everything throughout the entire site retroactively. The problem is with a currently existing site, you may have already been indexed with whatever URLs you currently had. All those links will be broken. You will need to have a redirect system put in place to capture all those broken links.
I've never looked at third HT access. Can you do 301?
Oh, yeah. There's actually some beautiful 301 plugins for WordPress. Wonderful thing about plugins. As I said, I specialize in plugins. My favorite part of WordPress is plugins. I have a podcast that I'm now into a year and a half on. Plugins for WordPress are what make WordPress as it is now. You can do anything with a plugin. If the plugin doesn't exist, there's a very good chance you can hire a PHP coder to write it for you. So what we'll do here is I'll give you a brief explanation about what plugins and widgets are. Briefly, every widget is a plugin, but not every plugin is a widget. That's it in a nutshell. To explain that, what that means, as Mike said, on the side are your widgets. You got my, you can see my widgets here on my side, my wants to connect with me on different ones, my like me on Facebook, my videos here, fresh content. Yep, Monty Python, one of my favorites. On the front page, it's got even more widgets because it displays different pieces of content here in widgets, displays part of my portfolio, displays some of my articles, again, videos and other things. So those are your widgets. But plugins add functionality to your website. You can put a plugin in that will not create a widget. Example of some plugins that create widgets are SEO plugins. There's some magnificent SEO plugins. The most common one is called All-in-One SEO, the simplest one to use. If you don't already use it, install it on your site. It's very straightforward to set up. And again, that additional step will dramatically improve the SEO of your website. You can add a couple of other ones. What's that? All-in-One SEO.
One as in spelled out?
Yes. O-N-E. There's a couple of more advanced ones if you got more time to figure it out. The best one now is called WordPress SEO, and the second best one is called Headspace 2. And WordPress SEO is relatively recent.
Yoast?
It was created by Yoast DeValk, who's one of the most prolific plugin authors for WordPress.
WordPress All-in-One?
No, WordPress SEO is what Yoast does. What's that? Headspace 2.
Number 2?
Yep. So adding plugins and widgets to your website is done quite simply under the Appearance menu. Plugins menu. One down. You can start off with a site, find out what plugins you have, and the two that come default in WordPress annoy me to no end, because to me it's a violation of WordPress' own way of doing things, is they come installed with Akismet and Hello Dolly. Both of them created by WordPress. Hello Dolly, I'm okay with, because that one actually teaches you how to write a plugin. If you want to know how to write a plugin, you download Hello Dolly and take it apart. That's basically all it's for. If you activate it, all it does is it puts a couple of quotes up in the right-hand corner, I believe. Where'd it go? Yeah, there it is, up here in the right-hand corner. It puts quotes from Dolly the Musical. Akismet. Akismet is the anti-spam plugin that most people use on their website. It is the simplest one to set up. I still recommend it, sort of. 8-9 months ago, there was a big kerfluffle in the WordPress community about Akismet and about how Automattic, who creates it, was handling Akismet. It is free, technically, if you're a personal blog that doesn't do any business on it. If you do any business whatsoever, an advertisement is considered business, you're supposed to pay for it. It's a whole lot of things around it. So anyway, what happened is I discovered a better anti-spam plugin that works actually much better than Akismet with less overhead. Called Anti-Spam Bee, but it does take a little while to set up. Akismet, I used it for a couple of years until I discovered I was violating the license by doing business on it, and they wanted me to pay for it, and I decided I would go hunt for one that was different. Anti-Spam Bee, Akismet used to allow through one or two or three spams a month on it. Anti-Spam Bee, I installed it almost a year ago. I have not had a single spam on my website since. And I do not use reCAPTCHA. Everyone knows what reCAPTCHA is?
No.
You know when you go to a website and it asks you to fill out that annoying word through lines that you can never make out those letters? And you gotta refresh until you finally get one you can read? That's reCAPTCHA. It has an actual meaning, but I can never remember it. And it annoys me. If I hit a reCAPTCHA and I'm trying to put a comment on a website, When I see the reCAPTCHA, I just won't bother because it's too much work. The idea is to get rid of your reCAPTCHA. Easier it is, you make it for people, the more comments you get.
So you're not monitoring your comments, you're letting this plug into it?
Oh no, I monitor. I have my comments. I have get notifications. All my comments are held in moderation until I can check them.
So what would the value of this be if you're checking already?
It keeps the spammers off my website. You turn off that, within a week you will get 20 or 30 comments a day. And
if
none of them... No, but they still come into your email box, and they still end up in your comment list where you have to delete them. They will still end up in your dashboard, under your comments. They will still end up here, and you have to go through and remove them as spam.
Do you have access to the list of people, just peruse once in a while, like the anti-spam list of what they've blocked? Just make sure they're not capturing your comments?
Not anti-spam, no. And if it's blocking something, I just don't worry about it, to be honest. I've had one person send me an email that said they got blocked, and so I went in and I fixed the settings. I had the settings tuned too high. So I might have lost a few, but what I lose and what I gain is something I determined to be more valuable. I gained a lot of time because I don't have to check comments that are spam. Because a lot of the spammers now write comments that are very close and look real and legitimate until you actually read them a couple of times over and begin to understand that it's pure spam, especially when you see the links.
So, John, do you have to uninstall Kismet or do anything with Kismet if you're going to install anti-spammy?
Yep, you uninstall it. You uninstall the Kismet, and then you go into your installed plugins, and you click delete, and you delete it, and a Kismet goes bye-bye.
If you're taking away that human verification using a CAPTCHA, then how does it guard against things like injection or those kinds of exploits?
Hopefully you've kept your WordPress site up to date to prevent the exploitment of injection scripts.
Yeah.
Hopefully your server is up to date, because the injection can only be exploited if there's a problem in the code on your website, the problem in the code on the plugin, problem in the code on the server. That's the only way that can be exploited. I still get the occasional, in one of my other sites, I still get the occasional email that has an attempted injection code in it. I can see all the strings where they've tried. So it still happens, but you keep it up to date and your chances of being infected are slimmer. Keeping WordPress up to date is actually a relatively simple thing to do. Here's a WordPress site that's out of date. Another one of my sandbox test areas. It was installed with WordPress 3.2, so it's one out. You log in, you get a nice yellow bar across the top for your WordPress. It tells you it's out of date. It says update now. Make sure, before you update, you make a backup of your database and your site. Very seldom does anything go wrong. Very seldom does anything go wrong, but occasionally something goes wrong. And if it does, you want to be able to revert back. I had a client site that runs an e-commerce store. I did an upgrade. It broke his e-commerce store. So I had to revert back.
Is it pretty straightforward to back up?
That depends. Some hosting companies make it very easy, some make it difficult, or you can go download a few plugins. There's several different plugins for WordPress that allow you to make backups. There's some that can back up your database and email it to you. There's a couple that will back up your entire site, compress your entire site into a zip file. That means all your files, your structures, your plugins, everything, into a file and email that to you. And there's some that will do those backups but leave it on your server for you to download as an FTP file. So there's multiple ways to do it. Depends on what you need and what you're capable of doing.
What do you use?
I do it manually. I run my own servers, so I actually, my servers make backups onto hard drives, separate hard drives. So there are people that don't want to do it themselves. I have clients that don't want to bother with it themselves each month, because you got to do this monthly, minimum. So they hire me to do that for them. Yes? One that emails you your database, which is your most important component, is called WP Backup. That's it, WP Backup.
WP?
WP, as in WordPress Backup. WP Backup DB. That's it, WP Backup DB, as in dog boy.
SQL.
What's that? It sends you an SQL. It sends you an SQL file to your email address. It downloads your database and emails it to you. What I do for that with some of my clients is I create them a Gmail account specifically for their backups, and I have it all mailed there. So Gmail gives you tons of storage space. So you can save backups going back for a year, which is important because you never know which backup got corrupted. So back to updating. It brings you up to the update page. It shows you what you need updated. On this site here, I need to update WordPress, plus I need to update the marketplace, which is one of the plugins I'm using. Plus, it needs to update the themes. So it tells you everything you need to update. Updating now, simply a matter, click the Update Now button. Goes through, downloads it, updates it, verifies it, clicks it, boom. WordPress has just been updated from 3.2 to 3.31.
So when you did that, did you click any of those other things to ask it to?
You can only do one section at a time. You can only do the themes, then you can do plugins, then you can do the WordPress core. The best idea is to always do the WordPress core first, and then your plugins, because you never know what additional plugins are going to need to be updated once the core is updated.
Okay, so the core is the first one.
The core is the top one, yeah. I mean, I personally run as many as 100 plugins on my site, and sometimes once I update the core, 20 of them need updated. Yes. Yeah, you update your own. You can. Some hosting providers will offer you the opportunity for them to do it for you. So, in the plugins, you just again, check it. Hit update plugins. Does the same thing. Downloads it. Goes through. Tells you it's updated. Same thing with themes. Yes. Then you gotta find out why. It's hard to say. There could be a problem with the plugin, there could be a problem with WordPress site. This last week, it was like WordPress 3.31 dropped just last week. I found last week I was doing updates on a lot of my sites and my client sites, and in the middle of the afternoon, it was near impossible for me to get any updates done because I think the rest of the world was doing updates at the same time, and they were overloading WordPress's servers. And I think about WordPress has 25 plus million users. That's just the .org part. That's not the .com. .com has another 40 plus million. So WordPress is very large.
Can you comment about permissions on directories and server safe mode issues that can also block updates?
I can comment on them, but that's something that you have to take up with your host. If your host is designed where you have to create a 777 permission on your website, run. Don't walk. Run from that web hosting provider because they have set up their servers insecurely and very poorly. 777 directories are the most insecure directories on the web. If I find your site with a 777 directory, I can upload anything I want into that directory and take over your website. So you should never have that. If you have to do it and you want to stay with your host, you create the 777 and then change it back. But yeah, run. Don't walk from that hosting provider. There's lots of good hosting providers that allow you to properly update WordPress. Yes?
I have a question about the updating. After my site was hacked, I got everything back, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. But the auto-update doesn't work anymore. I have to use FileZilla or something to upload my new.
What happens? Does it ask for FTP permissions or just say it can't write to that directory?
Can't
write to that directory?
Yeah.
So what's happened is your hosting provider probably requires you to turn your upload directory or your update directory into a 777 directory so WordPress can write to it. Which is possibly a reason why your site could have been hacked before.
But it worked beforehand.
It might have been 777 before, and that may have been how your site was hacked. So investigate. If you have to use 777, run from that hosting provider. They've set up their servers incorrectly. Okay, so that's updating. Simple enough to do. And I've got just about another minute. So I want to give one quick look at importing. WordPress, as I mentioned earlier, allows you to import quite simply from WordPress.com. If you're moving off of WordPress.com onto your own WordPress.org self-hosted environment, they have import scripts for all the major blogging providers, as you can see here. WordPress is the simplest one. You click on it, go to import the file, you go find a file you've downloaded from a previous WordPress install, you click upload file and import. It comes up and asks you how you'd like to import it to your site. If you want to assign a new author to it, or use the existing author that wrote the article, or assign another author to it that exists. The one important box here to check is download and import file attachments. What this is if you've used photos in your posts, you want those attachments moved to your new site. So you check that box there, and it'll download all the file attachments that were with that post and bring them over to your new site. And the import process here goes through, and it tells you everything that it imported. All the articles, and underneath it, if there's images to come with it, it'll say image, imported. And it tells you all done, have fun. That's importing from WordPress.com to WordPress.org. And it's a similar process from Blogger, Tumblr, some of the others out there. That brings me to the end of this, basically. As I said, I can't cover it all. I try. Got questions for me? You're welcome to corner me later. Thank you.